I'd like to say that we appreciate you being out here with us, and I see our friends from Otisco. They're back tonight. I recognized them the other night, but I couldn't place them. Been so long since I saw them. But I see them, that they're back tonight. We're certainly glad to have them here with us. They were very kind to us when we were having the Utica Pike meeting. The Lord really blessed us in that meeting. And we certainly appreciate having them here with us. And all the others that's coming with regularity, we appreciate you coming out here to be with us. It means a lot to us. Many people have had to return to their homes, as I said last night. Some of them will be coming back. They said they'd be back toward the latter part of the week. Some had to go back over into different parts of Indiana. They said they would also be back. Some were supposed to be here tonight. They're not here, but probably be here tomorrow night. But God is still blessing us, and we're expecting more people from the areas of Jeff and Lucy, Louisville, over here to come out and be with us. Tomorrow they run a whole page ad in the paper on the meeting, and it'll let the people round about know that we're still in meeting over here in Jeff. And of course that will cause the people to want to come to be with us. Some of them perhaps thinks we're already closed out. The weather warming up a little, this makes it a whole lot better. I told my wife, I said, Betty, it seems that trying to pray here in the valley, it seems that there is a heavy blanket light or like a veil of death that lays over this valley, a cloud. When you go to seek God, I said, even though in my spirit I feel God mightily, if I talk to God about myself or just walk around here, I said, I feel God in a loving way, in a wonderful way, and my cup runs over. But when I begin to try to intercede for the people, I said, looks like there's a blanket that you just can't break through. And I said, when you get in service, I said, it's the same way. It seems like there is a wedge that's out there between you and the people that want to keep you from reaching the people. And I didn't know that anybody else had ever felt that or ever said anything about it. But a brother came along today to counsel with us. And while we were counseling, the Spirit and the anointing of the Lord came down, and we talked to him, and we told him the thoughts of his heart and some things. And he was telling us, he's a follower of Brother Branham, a staunch follower of Brother Branham. And he was telling us, he said, you know, said Brother William Branham used to make the statement, said when he come into this valley, said there was a heavy layer of something over this valley like a cloud or a veil. Said every time he come into this valley, said he'd always feel it. And I never knew that anybody else had ever said it or felt it. But I told him today, I said, you know, I felt that ever since I've been here. And I talked to my wife about it. I said, but today I begin to feel that thing break, and I begin to penetrate that veil. And I have today, I begin to penetrate it. And even tonight, I feel the penetration of it tonight. So I know that there's some people that's holding on to God because we're beginning to penetrate that heavy overlay, whatever it is, Satan, you know, whatever it is. One thing, I don't think God's pleased with them calling this the land of the red devils. I don't believe God's pleased with that. I believe that's an abomination in the sight of God to refer to any of God's area as devil land, because that's God's number one enemy and God hates it. And I believe that's abomination in the sight of God. And I believe that's what's given strength to this awful thing to hover over this valley like this. But nevertheless, we're beginning to penetrate it. I felt it today as we begin to push through and begin to get through to a little light. And I know there's some people praying and seeking God. And I want you to continue to pray and seek God that we can really have a revival here and win some people to Christ. Tonight, I feel a freedom that I've not been able to feel before. I feel a nearness to the people, and I can feel that middle wall of partition begin to break down. And I begin to feel the love of God and the confidence of God from the people and to the people as it begins to flow. And this is what we need because, well, it's just like the old saying that the nations have, united we stand, divided we fall. That's a good saying. Did you know that? It takes union to have strength. We've got to be unionized if we're going to have strength. You know, the world is in bad shape. I think you'll wholeheartedly endorse that statement without me having to stress the point. The world is in bad shape. You can walk down the street in certain places and you can see people, they'll have on little old slip-over shirts or something, and they'll have the dirtiest, filthiest little slogans or words written across it. They're just dirty and filthy. I mean filthy. I don't mean just some little something that might make your mind think of the wrong thing, but I mean just downright filthy and gullible. It's all printed on there. I was down in Florida, and a fellow walked across in front of me that had on a shirt, and it was absolutely filthy, the things that he said. And I tried my best to hold my peace because he was a stranger. And I thought, now, Brother Pike, in this world you can't do what you're about to do. And I said, I know I can't do it, but glory to God, I'm going to do it anyway. And I told him, I said, that low-down, dirty, filthy thing you got on. And he really got upset. He got upset. He said, I didn't come out here to be preached to. I said, well, I'm preaching to you anyway. And it really upset him. But to think such low-down, evil, dirty, filthy things that people would put on their bodies when the Bible said their bodies are the temples of the living God. Can you imagine that anybody would do such an evil, evil thing? So then I see these things and it's so disturbing. And I think, Lord, your wife can't even walk down the street anymore without being insulted by the evil things they have written on their clothes. Your daughter can't even have a virtuous, holy, pure mind anymore without being insulted just by seeing the pictures that they've got up inside of the service stations or inside of the cafes or the different places. And I thought, Lord, this ain't right. This ought not to be. They call this freedom. They say, let everybody do their own thing, and this is the way it's supposed to be. And everybody's supposed to have their freedom. Folks, that's not freedom. That's filth. That's not freedom. I want to ask you a question tonight. I want to ask you a question tonight, brothers and sisters. And I want you to think over what I'm about to say. Is it freedom for somebody to take a gun and go along and blow a man's brains out, pass down the street and kill three more people, go up the street and kill two more people, and then when you call the police up and you say, get that fella, he's a murderer, they say, we can't do that. We got freedom in this country. Is that freedom? Are they just going to let that man kill whoever he will? Don't you know that when they have those dirty, filthy things and those dirty, filthy slogans, and when they do this out through the world, that they're killing human souls and they're polluting the earth? And don't you know that's a cunning trick of the devil to drive the virtue of God out of the earth? Don't you know that's why that the world is sick tonight? That's why it's sick. The devil knows that if he can drive every bit of the virtue there is out on the earth, that God cannot dwell in the earth. God can only dwell where there's virtue. Did you know in the Old Testament, a prophet or someone would have to take a timbrel and they'd have to make a joyful noise unto the Lord to create an atmosphere for God to come down before they could even prophesy, because they didn't have the gift of the Holy Ghost back there like we got it? We don't have to do that now. Why, we can just, you know, make a joyful noise by just praising the Lord. But they had to get some kind of music going. And even now the spirits are hard. A lot of times we have to get together. The saints stay so run down in the spirit. You know, we have to get together and get a little music. Isn't that right? But the devil knows that to get the virtues of God out of this world gives him more strength. And the more of the virtue that he drives out, the more the powers of darkness has strength in this world, and God cannot work, live, or dwell in this world. And Satan's got control of it more and more. And that's why he's got all of this rock and roll. That's why he's taking even the gospel songs, and he's perverting the gospel songs, and they're turning the gospel songs into a bunch of rock and roll. And they're putting the wrong spirit behind it. A lot of people, they'll listen to a gospel song and they'll say, well, that's gospel, Brother Pine. Don't you hear them beautiful words about, oh, how I love Jesus? But don't you know that the devil quoted the Bible to Jesus? Took him up on that pinnacle and quoted the Bible verbatim? But don't you know that was the devil's spirit behind that thing? And he was using the Word of God to kill with? And the Bible said that they've changed the truth of God into a lie. And when they take those songs, they're changing those songs into a lie and making them destructive. And they are destroying with those songs. And it's a cunning trick of the devil to get into the church and to get into the hearts of your children and to get into the pulpit and everywhere else. And what I mean, they've even got those rock and roll singers coming singing in the church. And they got them playing the organs and playing the instruments. People that's anointed of the devil with the power of the devil. Folks, we better wake up. Death is on the rampage everywhere. And our ministry is not doing anything about it. Our ministry, they're so afraid that they'll run people off. They're so afraid that people won't give them the money to support their cause. And people have got so touchy from watching PTL and 700 Club and all kind of clubs until you can't hardly preach the gospel to them anymore. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe in those clubs? I believe in anything that's got God in it. I believe in every good thing Jim Baker's doing and Pat Robinson and all the rest. I was on Pat's program for about a solid year. But I believe in godliness. I believe in holiness. And if I do wrong, it's wrong. If Jim Baker does wrong, it's wrong. And if Pat Robinson does wrong, it's wrong. If Oral Roberts does wrong, it's wrong. And if Billy Graham does wrong, it's wrong. And if either one of us does right, it's right. Did you know that? If the Baptist does wrong, it's wrong. If the holiness does wrong, it's wrong. If the Methodists do right, it's right. If the Catholics do right, it's right. Whatever's right, it's right. Whatever's wrong, it's wrong. Whatever's black, it's black. Whatever's white, it's white. It don't make no difference who does it. Isn't that right? That's the way we're supposed to look at it, folks. And we're not supposed to just be on a teeter-totter. Just every little thing somebody say, something about something, say, well, I don't believe that. That's not the way I believe it. I hope you don't get upset at me tonight. Just a little bit of strain because I'm still kind of hoarse. But I want to talk with you just a few minutes tonight. It's like a brother is talking to today. People literally strain an ant and swallow a camel. You know, Jesus instigated that saying, didn't he? Jesus said, ye blind gods. He got disgusted with them. He said, ye blind gods, ye strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Don't you know that insulted them? One of them lawyers, you know they had doctors of the law back there. One of them lawyers back there that believed in the law, that taught the law of Moses, they popped up and they said, Master, said when you said that, you reproached us. He said, you hypocrite. And he set in on the lawyers. Strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Blind leading the blind, you all fall into the ditch. Said you're taking away the key to knowledge. And he really preached the gospel. Now that was old time Holy Ghost preaching by the master himself. That got the job done. Did you know it? That really got the job done. Now, and then he demonstrated the love of God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what is the love of God? The Bible said the love of God is to keep his commandments. Jesus went in and demonstrated the love of God. You see, these preachers get up and they talk about the love of God till they get their hands down in your billfold and get everything you got and blind you and don't tell you nothing about getting right with God. But Jesus went in and preached the love of God. The first thing he done, he flipped over the money tables and showed them the love of God. He demonstrated the love of God by flipping over the money tables. He sat outside and he planted him a whip and he drove that herd of cattle and everything out of the temple. And those walking, talking beasts, he drove them out too. Demonstrating the love of God and said, as it is written in the scriptures, that my Father's house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. You love Jesus? Did you know this body is the Father's house? And did you know we're supposed to meditate in His laws day and night? But did you know that people today has got every kind of evil, every kind of garbage, every kind of fornication, adultery, evil thoughts, everything that's filthy going on in here? And God's going to destroy that temple because you've defiled it. It's supposed to be a house of meditation and prayer because it's the Father's house. All right. Ye are the temples of the Spirit of life. God made you a human temple for the abundance of life to dwell in, that life might overflow and that you might enjoy all things that pertain unto life. But death, the spirit of Satan and evil, has closed in on you and is taking your life and smothering your life by infiltrating your thinking, by programming your mind with the powers of evil that comes from the tree of knowledge. You love Jesus? All right. Now, I said this today. Here in this valley, somebody the other day made an announcement concerning Brother Pike. I wouldn't say nothing about this, but Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the truth. You know, I didn't come here to fight with nobody. I didn't come here to cause nobody any trouble. I come here to help people and try to win souls. But if people attack me, the only thing I know to do is testify of the truth. I'm not trying to defend myself, because we're supposed to be killed all the day long for His sake, or count His sheep for the slaughter. Now, but when people jump on us, all I know to do is testify of the truth. But somebody got up over here in the tabernacle at Brother Branham's place over here and said something about Brother Pike, saying that he's the eighth angel. Now, first of all, that's real news to me. I didn't know there was an eighth angel. If there is, I wish somebody talked to me about it. I'd love to get the insight on it. Second, anybody that would make that statement knowing better would have to be a liar. And the Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. If Brother Pike lies, he'll have his part in the lake of fire. And it doesn't matter who lies, they'll have their part in the lake of fire. Now, another thing is some of the following here that's supposed to be following of the tabernacle. I've heard this since I've been in the valley. Following of the tabernacle that can't come out to the meeting. What is that? I don't understand that. I've got brethren that belong to the tabernacle that come out to the meeting. I've got brethren all over the world, the different parts of the world, that follow Brother Branham's ministry, that follow this ministry. I've got brethren back in Monroe that were staunch followers of William Branham for years, that toted stacks of books and quotes everywhere, that follows this ministry with all of their heart and all of their life, and it wouldn't have nothing else. But to show you that blind God straining a gnat and swallow a camel, I remember this, being out on the field, I remember that the man called William Branham, since they got into this, prayed a special prayer for my ministry one time that God would make my endeavors one of the biggest in the world. He prayed the special prayer for it. Spoke of me under the anointing a time or two. Now, you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of this one thing. When Jesus came, they said God spoke to Moses. We know that. But we don't know whether God spoke to you or not. He said, if you'd have been Moses' disciples, you would have loved me because Moses spoke of me. People strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. See, Moses and Jesus got along fine. Isn't that right? Me and Brother Branham got along fine. But I tell you, some of the followers of different churches, the devil himself has problems getting along with them. All right. I want to read just a little bit, and that's no reproach to the Brother Branham followers, because he got some of the finest in the world. And there's some of the, John Wesley's got some of the finest in the world. And some of the other great men's got some of the finest in the world. But I tell you what, we all could use a little more of God. How many agree? All right. I want you to read just a little bit with me, folks. Over in the book of John, beginning at the 38th verse. He that believeth on me, this is the 7th chapter, 38th verse. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now, you know, I read that so that I could say this tonight. It is a true fact that wherever the gospel is preached, whenever you have a chance to speak to people, there is always a division. Always there comes a division among the people. When a minister comes to town, then comes division. Some will say he's a good man. Some will say he's a bad man. Some will say, I believe his doctrine. Some will say, I don't believe his doctrine. And there is a division among the people. But there's one thing that we've got to remember, that whether there is a division among the people or not, that minister is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at the end of the way, every person that hears that message or the gospel is going to be accountable to Almighty God, whether they believe it or don't believe it. When God sends a person into an area, He is sending him to preach to the rich. He is sending him to preach to the poor. He is sending him to preach to the righteous. He is sending him to preach to the unrighteous. The Bible said, warn the rich that they trust not in uncertain riches. The Bible says that we are to preach to the poor, for the poor heard him gladly. So then, we must preach the gospel to everybody, because the Bible says that we are to preach the gospel to every creature. We must preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature in Louisville, Kentucky tonight. Every creature in Jeffersonville, Indiana tonight. Every creature that's in this valley tonight, I must attempt to preach the gospel. I am trying to do my very best to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I am not just trying to have tent meetings. This is only part of our efforts for Christ. We have presses that roll back home, and we are reaching out right now in almost 50 languages. We either have those 50 languages or are on the verge of finishing up receiving the amount of 50 languages to where we can go around the world with the gospel. Now, we already have many of those 50, if not all of those 50 right now. And we have many distributors all over the different parts of the world. And we are getting requests for our literature throughout the world. And we are trying to reach people around the world. Here on the home front, we're on about 40 radio stations across the nation everywhere. We're on television all the way from Pennsylvania to Salem, Indiana. We reach across the nation carrying the gospel. We try to have tent revivals. We try to have street meetings. We try to pass out tracts. There's people on the home front that pass out hundreds and thousands of pieces of literature in our immediate neighborhood or in the surrounding areas that's not too far away. Why do they do that? Because we love Jesus. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And we're trying to feed the sheep and feed the lambs. The Bible says, blessed is the servant I so find doing, feeding my people at my coming. I will make him ruler over all that I've got. And he that overcometh Revelation said, I shall give him a rod of iron, and he shall rule the nations with the rod of iron, and he shall break the people into pieces like a man would take a rod and break pottery. So then, we that love the Lord are trying to be about the Master's business. This is what we're trying to do. Why are we in Jeffersonville, Indiana? There's lots of other places that we could have gone, children of God. There's lots of other places we could be tonight. It's like I told a young fella tonight. He was talking about whether or not I love the Lord. I said, this is the second day that I've not even been out of my room all day. It's not just the second day. Well, this is the second day in succession that I mentioned to him. I only came out last night to come to this tent. I only come out today, tonight, to come to this tent. Don't you know a man isn't, he's got to be sincere. He isn't playing games when he stays cooped up in a little motel room all day and all night and all day and all night and all day and all night, staying there day after day after day, trying to push away everything and praying and talking to God. He's got to be concerned about souls and people. I'm concerned about Jeffersonville. I'm concerned about the kingdom of God. I'm concerned about your loved ones. I'm more concerned about you and your loved ones than some of these pastors are, than some of these ministers are, because some of these have not even as much as come out and give me the right hand of fellowship. You say, well, they don't know whether you're of God or not. The Heavenly Father knows whether I'm of God or not. And if they're of God and they say they can hear God, they ought to be able to hear His voice enough to know whether I'm of God or not. And if they can't hear God that much, they don't need to be leading sheep. All right. So then, I'm talking to Jesus. I'm praying for you and your loved ones. I'm trying to reach God for you. I'm trying to get God to heal your body. I'm trying to get God to save your soul. I'm trying to get God to lift the curse if there is a curse in this area. I'm trying to get God to break through to where we can have revival in this area. Because I want to see you blessed, children of God. I want to see God pour out His blessing upon you. I want to see these other people around here. I want to see them come to God. I told this last night. There's a young feller. This very night. His life is hanging by a thread. Hanging by a thread, about to go out to meet God. And it's really got me tore up, and I've been praying and pleading with God, asking God to make sure that his soul was right. And I've talked to him, and I told this the other night, that when he came into my service and stood in the balcony on the left, and I said to him over here, I said, young man, death is on your trail. It's stalking you. And if you don't do something, it's going to overtake you. From that time on, month after month, things begin to happen to him. God gave him warning and another warning and another warning. But somehow he couldn't get a hold of it. The last devastating blow crushed his collarbone, crushed his pelvic bone, broke every rib on one side. Broke both arms, bleeding on the brain, internal bleeding, punctured both lungs, and now they have officially pronounced him dead. The only thing that's keeping him alive is the automatic assistance of the machine they've got that's pumping his heart. That really tears me up. Though I pray to God that something happened, somewhere, somehow or another, that he got a hold of God. But see, I said that to say this to you young boys and girls. It happened so quick that you don't know what happened. And then when it does happen, you can't even call on God. This young feller, unless he called on God, he's lost because he can't call on God. The way it hit him, it put him in such a condition that he can't do anything. They say the brain is already dead. Now, I remember another young fella. He wasn't about 21 or 22. Betty and I warned him. I talked with him. And I told him, I said, you've got to do something with your life. But the young fella didn't think it was important. It wasn't long. He was down at a nearby service station for no reason at all. There wasn't any reason for it. It was just an unreasonable thing. But a man walked up and shot him through the heart, killed him on the spot. He just, according to the attendant, the man couldn't even say nothing. It paralyzed him. And he couldn't even call on the name of Jesus. It killed him. You've got to follow the truth. Did you know that? That brings something else to my mind. Today, I was talking to this brother. And we was talking about different things and talking about honoring the truth. And we was talking about a little boy that we prayed for where God straightened his eyes up. Some of them's familiar with it. Where his eye was turned into his nose like this, and we prayed for the little boy, and God straightened his eyes up. Later on, his dad took a notion that he wanted to be a preacher. So then, he decided that he was just going to tell everybody that instead of Brother Pike praying for the boy, whereas he told him that before, he just said he prayed the prayer of faith and God healed the boy's eye. So, it wasn't long before it upset God, and God let another little child be born into his family. The next little child that was born into his family, the eye was into the nose and he couldn't get it straightened up. The boy is a big boy today. He still can't get it straightened up. The one we prayed for is still just as straight as it can be today. The man left the ministry, turned out to be a drunkard. His home split up. Him and his wife separated and just everything got tore up in the home. They lost their health and he went off with another woman and I think they finally got back together, but it's just one big mess. You know what caused that? Not having a love for the truth. Not having a love for the truth. Too many people try to play games with God, and brother, you can't play games with God. I read it in the scripture tonight where it said there was a division among the people. There is too much division among the people tonight. We should not have all of this division among us. Why are we divided? Why is all of this division? The Bible said, mark them that cause division among you. Why do we have so much division among us? There's got to be a reason if you and I can't get along. There's got to be a reason if we can't walk together. The Bible said the only reason that two can't walk together is because they don't agree. Why is it that we don't agree tonight? Why is it that we don't agree tonight? There's got to be one of two reasons, I would say. And that is because somebody that we're trusting in as our pastor, a preacher, is telling us something that's contrary to the right thing. Or either we're just not going to the Bible to learn the right ways of God. Isn't that right? We just don't care enough about our soul or salvation to go to the Word of God to find out the right thing. I wonder how many people tonight really go to the Scriptures and search the Scriptures. The Bible said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You know, nobody would go down to an automobile lot and buy an automobile and just grab the first thing that come along, now would you? When you go to buy a garment, when you go to buy an automobile, when you go to buy a home, why you don't run down there and just grab the first thing you get a hold of? You know you don't do that. You want to know who owned it. You want to know something about it. You want to know the condition of it. You just go all through that thing. You want to know a little history about it. But when it comes to religion, people will grab anything and everything and just take it because somebody said it. Brother, it's time that we begin to take the Word of God and look at the Word of God and find out if our preacher is following the Word of God. It doesn't matter what he looks like, what he talks like. It doesn't matter whether he's white, black, yellow, red, or whatever. If he's telling the truth in the Word of God, he's sent from God. If he isn't, he's not sent from God. So then tonight, we need to get together. There's too much division among the people. Why is there division among the people tonight? See, the Bible teaches that we are to be of one flock. Isn't that right? I believe that's Brother Shelby that come in back there. I hope it is. Is that Brother Shelby, Brother Jerry Roddy? And I thought that was Brother Shelby. Appreciate our Brother Shelby being with us tonight. This is the first time he's been under the tent with us. God bless you, brother. All right? Now, why is it that we have the division? Look how many people we got here tonight. Now, we've had a lot more people here, but even the people that we've got here tonight, are we divided tonight? Is the body of Christ divided tonight? Are you with me tonight? Am I with you tonight? Now look, if I am not with you and you are not with me, what's wrong, my brother, sister? If we are not walking together, if we are not agreeing together, tell me what's wrong with me tonight, or tell me what's wrong with you tonight. One of us has got to be wrong tonight. Either you've got to be wrong or I've got to be wrong. Isn't that right? Now, as far as I'm concerned, you're wrong. As far as you're concerned, I'm wrong. That is, if we don't agree. Because the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. Isn't that right? But did you know that that isn't going to do in the day of judgment? Me just saying you're wrong and I'm right, did you know God isn't going to accept that? And you're just saying Brother Pike's wrong and you're right or your pastor's right, God isn't going to accept that? Just saying my doctrine's wrong and your doctrine's right, did you know God isn't going to accept that? Did you know we're going to have to go back to the Word of God and see if the Word of God says it? And if the Word of God don't say it, it don't matter what your doctrine is or who gave it to you, it's still wrong. If the Word of God don't uphold Brother Pike's doctrine, it doesn't matter where I got it, it's still wrong. So then we got to get back to the Word of God. You say, Brother Pike, why back to the Word of God? Because the Bible said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the Bible said by grace through faith you're saved. And if we want to be saved, we've got to be saved by faith. And there is no faith aside from the Word of God, children. There is no faith outside of the Word of God. I don't care what I believe or you believe or anyone else believes. There is no faith outside of the Word of God. Now, there is believing outside of the Word of God, but the Bible said you can believe a lie and be damned. But I'm talking about faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. Did you know that? Believing is not faith. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, if you believe, that's faith. No, believing is not faith. You can believe a lie and be damned. That ain't faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. You know why a lot of people don't have faith? You know what it is? Because they don't have the love of God. The Bible says that faith is shed abroad in your heart by the love of God. Or the love of God works the faith. And the Holy Ghost puts the love in. Is that right? I can't have the love if I don't have the Holy Ghost. I can't have the faith if I don't have the love. If my faith is to work, I've got to have the love of God to make it work. Or it isn't faith. And if I have the love of God, I've got to have the Holy Ghost to get the love in there. Because there's no other way to get the love of God without His Spirit. Is that right? So then God is shed abroad in my heart the love of God by the Holy Spirit. I receive the Holy Spirit. He sheds the love of God into my heart and my faith works by that love. And that faith saves me through the grace of what He did at Calvary through the sanctification of spilling the blood, in that His blood is made unto me righteousness and sanctification. Is that right? So if you don't have the love of God, you couldn't have faith. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you couldn't have the love of God. The Bible said, if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine. A lot of people say, but I believe, Brother Pike. But I tell you tonight, that's not sufficient. That's not sufficient. Somebody says, but I believe. But that's not sufficient. The Bible did not say that you're going to heaven just because you believe. I tell you again, the Bible said if you believe there's one God, the Bible said you do well. The devil believes and trembles. But will you know, a vain man, that faith without works is dead? Is that right? So then just believing is not sufficient. That's not sufficient. Is that right? It doesn't just say you belong to God because you believe. He said, without my Spirit, you are none of mine. No man can call Him Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It takes the Holy Spirit to be able to call Him God. Did you know you cannot call Him Lord unless you have His Spirit? Why then call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? You must have His Spirit on the inside of you. When you get God's Spirit on the inside of you, it's a positive proof that you are honoring God. You are serving God. He is your Master. He is your Lord. You cannot call Him Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You cannot call Him Lord unless you've submitted to His Spirit and you have His Spirit. But brother, when you get His Spirit, when you submit to His Spirit, when you honor His Spirit, when you obey His Spirit, then you can say He's my Lord because you're His subject. Isn't that right? No man can call me Lord except by the Holy Ghost. So then tonight, what we need is to get rid of the division. And the Bible said there was division among the people. And some said He is a good man. And some said, nay, but He is a deceiver. And so it is in Jeff tonight. Why is the church divided tonight? Why is the people divided tonight? Why is it that we can't come together and love Jesus? Why is it that we can't come together under this tent tonight? If God told me to buy this tent, if God told me to set this tent in Jeffersonville, Indiana, if God placed this tent over here and told me to come here and preach, why is it that the ministry can't come together and have a brotherly fellowship under this tent and win people to God? Some of them say, well, Brother Pike, if they want to come to God, they can come to my church. That's wrong, brother. That's the wrong kind of spirit. Did you know that? When a man takes that kind of spirit, he's got the wrong kind of spirit. Somebody would say, if they want to go to heaven, then join my denomination. That's the wrong kind of spirit. You don't find in the Bible anywhere where God said anybody had to join any kind of denomination to get to heaven. It doesn't say you're saved by joining any kind of denomination. There's only one faith, as somebody said. Isn't that right? How do you know there's but one faith? Somebody said the Lutheran, the Catholic, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostal, the UPC, the Church of God, the Assemblies, the Christian Alliance, the Jehovah Witnesses. No, no, just one kind of faith. What kind of faith? Faith in God. That's the only faith there is. And God is the Word. Just one kind of faith. It's faith in God. If you don't have faith in God, you don't have any faith. Because faith comes by the hearing of the Word, which is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Faith in God. If you got it tonight, all right. If you don't, you don't have it. But listen, it's wrong for me to say they've got to come to my church and get right with God. Because the Bible said to me, go out into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in. Isn't that right? God said, leave the 99 that's saved in the fold and go look for the stray. All these people that's getting together saying, we are a brotherhood. We love each other. Can't nobody else come in unless they see it like we do. Don't you know God's frowning on them people? He said there is more joy and rejoicing in heaven over one lost soul coming to God rather than over 99 people that need no repentance. I get one soul to God here in this valley and win him to the Lord, and God will have a jubilee in heaven. The angels will have a jubilee in heaven, and you could take 10,000 brethren and have a meeting here, and God won't rejoice over it, and the angels won't rejoice over it. But I just win one soul here, and it'll cause a jubilee in heaven. You love Jesus? Oh, brother, let's get out into the highways and hedges. Somebody said, let's shake the bushes. Let's compel them to come in. Wouldn't you like to see a jubilee in heaven? Wouldn't you like to see a banquet in heaven? Wouldn't you like to see that prodigal son coming home and that father meeting him, bringing that ring down there, and him looking over here at Gabriel and saying, Gabriel, go kill that fatted calf. Michael, get that table spread. Brother Pike and them people down there has done got a soul saved. That prodigal that's been straying around, done come back to the father's house. Oh, what a jubilee we'd have. It's no wonder we ain't got no joy in the church. Them prodigals wandering around and God's worried about them. But brother, when we bring them to the house of God, that joy, that jubilance will come. When Zion travailed, sons and daughters were born into the kingdom. You know, that's another thing the church don't want to travail. Did you know that? Look at the day we're living in. A man marries a woman, she'll tell him to start with, see here, I don't know whether I want any children or not. Well, why don't you want any children, young lady? Well, I'm thinking about a career. A career. I'm thinking about a career. I remember God's watching. I'm thinking about a career. Well, look, couldn't we just have one little child in the home? You know, the husband said, we need one little child in the home. I'm the breadwinner. I'll make us a living. Oh, I don't know. We might could have one, I guess. So then maybe they get one little child in the home. And then he said, well, we got a little boy. Can we have a little girl? Well, I don't know. I guess so. I tell you one thing, they ain't gonna be over two. Somebody say, I love Jesus. God said, multiply, replenish the earth. Woman, you need to get out of that place you're in and off of that job you own and get back into the home and guide the house. The Bible said, let the woman guide the house. She ain't got no business on the job. She ain't got no business trying to have a career. She's supposed to run the house, and the man's supposed to be the breadwinner. And if he's too lazy to make her a living, then she don't need him. I know somebody down south had a good job. God had blessed him with a brick home. Nice new car. The man had a nice job at a place called Warner Robins. He was a well thought of man. He was in electronics. And they had everything their heart could wish for. But she decided, after they went around and around, that the wives should go to work. That way they could have two cars. That way they could have a little extra. And so it was. That's what they done. I warned them against it. But you know what happened? He wound up tearing his home up. When the woman spends more time around the boss than she does around the husband, and around the job than she does around the home, and around the men than she does around the women, and she hears those filthy mouthed men that know what they're doing when they go by and say those filthy, evil, dirty things, and when she has to listen to the filthy mouth of the mouth of the boss, because she knows he'll fire if she don't listen, then she ain't fit to put in the pig pen, let alone to be the mother of your children. Glory to God. Somebody said, I don't want this kind of religion. You better believe it. God don't give this to pigs. God don't give this to pigs. You say, Brother Pike, are you calling them pigs? Jesus said, when the sow has been washed, she'll go back to her wallowing in the mire. And Jesus said, the dog will go back and lap his vomit. Jesus called them pigs and called them dogs. I'm only telling you what he had to say about it. If you got an argument, you can call him up and tell him all about it. He's up there day and night. And the Bible said God that keeps Israel don't sleep. All you got to tell him is you don't like his ways. You don't like his rules. You don't like his regulations. And he'll just say, and call the breath back out of your life. And they'll lay you in a hole. And that'll be all there is to you. And you won't have any more fuss over it. If you don't like his way of doing things, like I told a policeman one time, I set up my tent over here in a place way down in Georgia, and I was having a revival. He come over there and said, you better get that PA system cut down. Just kept hounding me. I tried to reason with him. I couldn't. And I told him, I said, he was talking to the others. I said, let me go talk to the chief. So I went over to him, and I said, Chief, I said, don't you like to live? Yeah. I said, Chief, let me talk to you a minute. I said, y'all have parades here in this town, don't you? He said, yeah. I said, and the girl half nude, but she spins a baton and goes up and down the street. I said, they make a lot of noise, don't they? Oh, yeah. I said, I heard a football game over here the other night. You could hear it slap over the city. Nobody made them turn it down. Nobody said anything about it. I said, is that right, Chief? He said, yeah. I said, well, I want you to know something. We are preaching the gospel. God made the city. God made the streets that you let these half-naked women walk up and down. God made that place that you're letting them holler over there while they're running, wallowing mud like a bunch of pigs, hollering over a pig skin, and grown people acting like a bunch of foolish boys and girls. And I said, Chief, let me tell you something. If you don't like to live, God will take that breath that's going in and out your nostrils home anytime you want to dismiss it or get rid of it. He just walked off and that was the end of it. He never bothered me anymore. Not anymore at all. The whole time I was there, he never bothered me anymore. Folks, let me tell you, when we don't like God's rules, now you can argue with Brother Pike, and you can argue with the neighbors, and you can argue with your wife, and you can argue with the children, but when you tell God you don't like His rules and regulations, you got to remember He's your breath of life. The Bible said, man whose breath is in his nostrils, he breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils and man become a living soul. And if you don't like his rules and regulations, he'll just call that breath of life home and y'all won't have any more arguments. All right. Seem like we all agree. I believe what the Bible says. God said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Preach the word. What does the word say? Now, Brother Pike could come over here and preach his ideas about it. I could preach my feelings about it. I could preach what somebody told me about it. But that wouldn't help you. That wouldn't do you no good. But if I preach to you what God said about it, that will help everyone that will honor and obey it. That will help you, my brother. That will help you. That will free you from iniquity. That will keep you from the wrath of God. And I come here preaching the word. He said, preach the word. What does the word say? Let the woman guide the house. How can a woman guide the house if she's over yonder somewhere on a job? Will you tell me how she can do that? She can't do it. There ain't no way. There ain't no way, brother and sister. What we need to do is get back to the right way of living. It is no wonder that the world is corrupted like it is. The world is in a bad state of corruption. Did you know that? It's in a bad condition. There is division among the people. Division among the people. Why? Why is there division among the people? Because they don't know the Word of God. They're taking this pastor's word and that pastor's word and this evangelist's word and this evangelist's word, and they don't know the word of God for themselves, and they don't know what the Bible teaches. So there's a division among the people. But let this evangelist tell you tonight, go to the word of God. Find out what the word of God says. Any child going to school, it's good for him to listen to the teacher, but he needs to read his textbook. This man sitting here, he said he was in college for about 6 years, business college and in seminary too. And he'll tell you the many times that he found the professors wrong and had to go to their face and tell them they were out of the textbooks and they were wrong. The professor didn't like it. It's like our bank account, the way we have to operate, keeping books for the government. We find the banker wrong. We find the tellers wrong. We find people, we got international credit. We have to operate all over the world. We find people all over the different parts of the nation wrong. But do they want to admit it? No. But we make them admit it. They don't like it. But we got some good bookkeepers and they have to admit it. It sure tears them up when they have to. Because the banker always wants it to appear that you're wrong. And the teller always wants it to look bad on your part. Somebody say, I love the Lord. But brother, sister, we need to check the books for ourselves. We need to check the books for ourselves. And so there was a division among the people. I hope that here in Jeff, there's not a division. I'm going to stop here. I love to preach a little longer, but I can tell when the sparks is dying out and I can't get you to fend the coals, you know. And I have to just kind of back off. I told my David the other night, I said, since I've been in Jeff, son, I ain't been able to preach one sermon. I said, I just get started and have to stop. I said, not even been able to finish one sermon yet. Tonight, I've got along pretty good on this one. But usually there's an interruption and somebody walks out or people get all tore up or we have to go around and around or whatever to interrupt the service of the anointing or whatever. But anyway, you've been a good audience tonight and you've listened. God's kind of narrowed them down to where the people are listening and receiving real good. You've been a real good audience tonight. But folks, listen, No matter what I say, if you don't incorporate this in your lives and in your spirits, and if you don't listen to what the evangelist says or what the minister says when he is preaching the Word of God and really catalog these things in your heart and in your life, it won't do you any good. Did you know that? Now listen to me just a moment. The Bible says, give the more earnest heed. Now listen to this. Give the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And the Bible said, take heed how that you hear. Because Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. He'll twist it up. He'll make it sound like something it isn't. Take heed how you hear, and give the more earnest heed to what you hear. For the Bible said, seeing that the angels, who are greater in power and in might, received a just recompense of reward for every transgression. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So then, brother, sister, tonight, remember what Brother Pike is telling you. Now we just felt like preaching a little to you tonight, exhorting you a little bit. Toward the weekend, I'm going to say some things, like I said the other night. It's going to kind of give your minds a twirl. And you're going to wonder. You're going to wonder, but for them that will listen, them that will believe, them that will get on the Bible and check the Bible, it's going to thrill their hearts. You just wait and see. It's going to thrill their hearts. And we're going to do it. I'm just trying my best to wait till this clears up just a little bit more. And wait till I can get my people in a unified effort and a union of mind. See, because if I start off on something here in the way of the mystery of God or some of the deep things of God, if I get into something and I get out there and just say about 8 or 10, 15 words and then somebody closes it up like that and it cuts off, then you won't know where I'm going and what I'm doing and you'll be all mixed up and it'll just do you more harm than it will good. All right. I'm trying to say simple things, things that we all can understand. But these are the principles of the gospel. Isn't that right? This is the principles. The Lord wants us to get this. A lot of people haven't even got this yet. But God said, let us go on. How do you believe we ought to go on? Let us go on unto perfection. Not turn again to lay the foundation of repentance. Of dead works and dead faith toward God, or faith toward God. Let us go on to what? Doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. And He will permit it if we go on. He will permit it if we go on. You love Jesus? All right, I want you to stand with me tonight. I want to say again, you've been a good audience tonight. Been a very wonderful people. I told somebody the other night, I said, it's a strange thing. I don't feel the people of Jeff fighting against me. Seem like that they've got enough fear of God that they don't just come out and fight. You know, you go to places where they just fight right against you. I've not felt them do that. But it's been a reservation of heart sort of a thing. Not going with you, not surrendering. Not moving with you in the spirit. And I can understand that because I'm new to many of you. See, and being here, a lot of you don't know me. And being here, you're afraid to give me your confidence and give me your spirit because I could mislead you. And I understand that. So Brother Pike's not upset at you. But I do believe this. At least, if you go down to buy an automobile, somebody says, well, try the thing out. There ain't nothing wrong with you trying it out. At least you can try us out. You know, there ain't nothing wrong with that. You don't have to take it if you don't want it. But at least you can try it out and give it a fair try anyway. So you don't know whether you want it or not until you try it out. All right. They've even got now, you know, they're changing the marriage laws. And what you do, if you meet a man, you can try him out. Meet a woman, you can try her out. You know, if you don't want her, you trade her in on another one. They got a new law on that. Now it's coming up. You know, nothing could be more rotten, could it? But that's the world for you. You know why they're doing that? This is a little strong. I hope you can digest it. but they're beasts. And all of them going to go under the order of the beast and take the mark of the beast. You know, cattle, you put a brand on cattle, and God's going to brand all them beasts and put a mark on them. He's going to put a brand on them. Did you know that? Because they ain't nothing but beasts. They belong to the beast. But you sons and daughters of God, you're not going to be like that. You got the mind of God, and you got an integrity. You got a high order of life. You got a soberness and a purity and a virtuousness within you. You never do nothing like that. See, you know better than that. You wouldn't do nothing like that. You're not going to defile and corrupt yourself in any such manner. You're the temple to the great spirit of life, and it dwells in you. You're going to be whole and clean, just, perfect, and you're going to be pure. Isn't that right? You love the Lord. I want you to slip your hands up with me for just a moment now. God bless your heart. You know, the people of God are so precious. They've been beat on and knocked around and abused. And every preacher come along and every evangelist has hammered on them and made them to hope and tried to build them up and let them down. And they're really pitiful. The Bible said God looked down and pitied his people. They're really pitiful. And God loves them, and God doesn't want them to be beat. He doesn't want them to be mistreated and hurt. But folks, we got to do something. The wolves are among you. A lot of them are in sheep clothing. A lot of them are in sheep clothing. And we've got to do something. And this is all I know to do. To preach the word to try to help you. The word will lead you. The word will open your understanding. The word will make you think right. And once you develop the mind of the word, once you get your mind programmed with the word, and once you transformate your mind to the word, then when you look around, and then when you begin to consider, and then when you begin to evaluate, you'll know who's right and who's wrong then, because you'll have the right understanding. If you get the right formula, you'll know how to work out your problem, because you've got the right instructions and the right formula. But if the wrong instructions is there and you're all mixed up on your formula, you couldn't never work it out, folks. The Bible is the right formula. It's the right formula. And the minister, if he's a real man of God, he'll give you the right instructions. He's the right teacher. The fivefold ministry set there for the perfecting of your faith. We wish even this, Paul said, the perfecting of your faith. Now, tonight, while you're standing there tonight, now, there might be somebody sick here tonight that wants prayer. I didn't pray for them last night. I was hoarse. The devil jumped on our throat. We had to pray and believe God to get him off of us. Appreciate Brother Woods. He called over my place today. He said, Brother Pike, let me pray for you. I said, yes, sir. He prayed with me and believed with me. Brother Taylor said, Brother Pike, me and Brother Morris said we was really praying for you today. And some of the others prayed so that God would help me. You know, the Bible said pray one for another. So, if you're sick tonight, if you're sick tonight, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother A, come up here and let me pray for you tonight, fella. I believe this ramp will hold you. Now, Ed's a big fella. He covers the ground where he stands. I met Ed quite a long while ago. Ed's had a problem keeping his weight down. I've heard him preach. And honestly, I believe that he is one of the most brilliant most explicit to the point preachers I have ever heard in my life. So clear, can lay something out, and his ministry is so enjoyable. But I just felt like praying for him tonight. He come down from Florence, from Muncie, Indiana tonight to be with us. And I'd like to pray for him. How many would like to just lift your hands? Ed's kind of had a battle in the last few months. How many would have compassion on Ed and pray with him? If you could just hear him minister the word. It is so terrifically brilliant. It's no wonder that the devil has jumped on the man the way he has. Because it is fantastic the way God's blessed him. But let's just believe together, can we? Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, Lord of heaven, you know I've been praying for Ed now, asking you to touch Ed, and you've done it. And oh God, here he stands, whole and healthy again. And dear God, we love Ed and we want you to touch him tonight. May the great loving Holy Ghost, the sweet Holy Spirit, Lord God of heaven, go into this body. May it heal this body. I feel such a freedom of the Spirit tonight here under the tent. I feel such compassion, warm, sweet Spirit from the people. I pray that you'd heal Ed tonight. May thy Spirit, O God, come down in a great manner. Heal Ed. God, move every interference. Break every yoke. Make everything right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel better. Praise God. I ain't feel better after that, don't you?
Praise God.
If you'd like to be prayed for tonight, Brother Pike's going to take time to pray for you. I feel a freedom in the Spirit here tonight.
Hallelujah.
I felt that thing begin to break today. And I feel a unity forming among the people tonight. If you want to be prayed for, we'll take a minute and pray for you. I believe the people have got enough patience that they'll bear with us tonight. Sometimes people have to leave early. We had some people to leave the other night. It was cold on a Sunday night. It was cold. And some people had to get up, or Saturday night, whichever night it was. A few of them left because they were cold, and some of them left because they had to go to work. They sent us work that they had to go to work, and they left. It looked like they just got rudely up and walked out, but they sent word back that they hadn't done that, which was real heartwarming. I was glad to hear it. You know, when you press with necessity, have to go to the restrooms, or when you have to go to your job, or if something really happens to you and you have to go out, the Lord understands. And he's not going to curse you, brother, sister. But if you just rudely walk out when God's talking or in the service, the Lord will get upset at you because he wants you to have more respect for him than that. We're going to pray for these people. Now, it seemed like in these services, like I told David, I said it seemed to me like that God has moved less in these services and praying for the sick and healing the sick than any I've just about ever had in my life. But I'm still convinced that before the week's out, that God's going to bless, because I feel a breaking tonight. And I feel a unity, and I feel the people pressing in. And when people begin to believe, God begins to heal. And I can feel that healing virtue tonight. I can begin to feel the Spirit moving. And I want us to pray, and I want us to believe. And I want us to make the remaining of these services real godly, so that God will heal and God will bless. And people that have sicknesses and diseases, and people that have problems and oppressions, that are bound with demon spirits, that they can be delivered. The Bible said the disciples went out and cast out many devils. And what we need to do is to cast out evil spirits and spirits of infirmity, and free the people so that they can be healed and they can be blessed. Isn't that the right way to do it? How are we going to believe with me tonight as we pray? The Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. Isn't that right? Did you know tonight that if these signs don't follow you, you're not a believer? If they don't follow me, I'm not a believer. Did you know that every true child of God tonight, man or woman or whatever, if you don't have signs following you, you are not a believer. The Bible said these signs shall follow them who believe. It didn't say it would follow them that just made confession. It said them that believe. So tonight, I want you to pray with me and I want you to believe, because we confess to be believers. Father, Lord of heaven, in Jesus' name, I pray for this brother. And oh God, this knee right here, as I put my hands upon it, my Father, I want the swelling to go out of it tonight. Move the swelling out of my precious brother's knee. Heal him, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. I recall Calvary, Father, where your Son took his suffering. And it was there at the old rugged cross where they laid the stripes on his back. I feel you healing him now. And you took his pain and you took his misery. And you took his suffering so that he wouldn't have to do it. And we believe it. We're believers. He's a believer. Heal it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I believe he answered that prayer.
Where the blood red stains they broke, all the chains that I could still go free. That I could still go free.
I believe God will send more. I believe you love Jesus.
What kind of man? Reach down his head and do this for me.
In the name of Jesus, I want you to touch my sister. According to your spirit tonight, according to your will, touch this sister tonight. May the power of God come into this life. Father, I feel you healing this body tonight. Father, heal. Move this excess fluid tonight from this body. Move this rupture tonight. Move it, Father. In the name of your Son tonight. Glorify your name, Jesus. Heal. Praise God. I feel God healing. How do you feel God healing tonight? I feel God healing tonight. I feel faith tonight, don't you? Let's lift our hands up and love Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sister Harper, come around and you work with these ladies some, if you will. Stand up here where you can kind of work with these ladies some. Hallelujah. You love Jesus. God is so good. Isn't that right? God is so good. Praise God. A little more knowledge, would you be willing to give your heart to God? Is that right? Would you give your heart to God? Would you give up that habit you got? You know you gotta give it up before you preach the gospel. You gotta give it up. The Bible said, unless a man will forsake all that he has, he cannot be my disciple.
If I have to give it up, I'll do that. It makes no difference to me, you know.
Okay.
But I know I'm gonna be the preacher. I'm Baptist
minister. Okay, lift your hands. Okay, lift your hands and let me pray for you. Okay. Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus tonight, as I pray for this brother tonight, I want you to look down from out of heaven. Let the power of God come down tonight. Let the spirit of deliverance be here. Satan, I adjure thee by God tonight to take your hands off of this man. God has brought him this way tonight. Put him in my care tonight. And in the name of Jesus, I claim this soul for Christ. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name tonight, I charge you to withdraw by the blood of Jesus Christ. Right now, we speak the power of deliverance. May the Spirit of God enter into this body and into this life.
name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. I felt something. You're welcome. Please, God, you want to be prayed for my sister. I want you to stay up here and work with these ladies, my brother. Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus, as I pray for our sister tonight, the tears streaming down her cheeks. You know the need tonight. You know the hurt tonight, the longing tonight. May the great power of God and the Spirit of God come into her life. Hallelujah. As I look away to glory tonight, I look away to your Son tonight, Father. Father, heal tonight. Heal, Holy Father, by your Spirit. May the great power of the Holy Ghost be here. May every unbelief be taken away. Father, may every unbeliever, Father, be set aside tonight, that the Holy Spirit, God, can move. I pray that every unbelief will be bound tonight, that the Holy Spirit can move. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. I want you to believe tonight. You know, every time I start praying for the sick, I feel that thing start tightening up again. And I feel that unbelief start in the audience again. I want you to loosen up. I want you to believe God. It might be your brother. It might be your sister. It might be your daddy. It might be your mother. It might be your son. It might be your daughter that I have to reach God for. I want you to believe God. I want you to loosen up tonight. I want you to believe as I pray for these people. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I pray tonight for this little girl, I want you to do something for her. Stretch out your healing hand and heal in Jesus' name tonight. Oh God, heal. Heal and make whole tonight in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, touch this body. Father, touch the spirit. May the Spirit of God heal and make whole tonight. May deliverance be here tonight. I feel it, Holy Father. Glory to God, I feel it. Though I know that Satan is suppressing in this valley, but I still feel you doing the job in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I can tell that the devil is pressing in this valley. He's suppressing every time I start to pray for the sick. He comes in and he starts suppressing the faith. But God's still doing the job anyway. We're still going to get testimonies anyway. And God's still breaking through anyway. He's still breaking through. Hello there, will you? How you feeling tonight? Praise God. What's wrong with you? Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus, as I pray for my brother tonight, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd do something for him. Lord, heal his body tonight. Deliver him tonight. Set him free. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see this brother right here? I made mention of him the other night. This brother, when we went down into Florida, he was a boxer. Boxing for a living. And was the champion of the state there. But God got a hold of his heart one night. He wasn't even at the meeting. But he heard us preaching and come over from a service station or something. And God seized his heart. And he gave his heart to God. And he's been trying to get a hold of God and do something for God ever since. You know, God can do anything. Isn't that right? We were preaching up in Atlanta, Georgia, out on the square, right out in the open, in the city. Right in the park, a man stepped over the trolley and the Spirit of God just went so strong, got him and pulled him way over there. And a man began to surrender his heart to God right there in the public. You know, God can do anything. Isn't that wonderful? Lord bless you. Okay. How are you tonight? Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus, I want you to touch this brother tonight and heal him. I want you to deliver him in Jesus' name tonight. I feel the wonderful power of God. I feel the Spirit of Christ here tonight. Father, to heal, to save, to forgive and deliver. Oh God, I remember you hung on the old rugged cross that we could have this privilege of healing and deliverance. In Jesus' name, praise God. Brother, I feel your faith tonight. Hello, sonny boy. Let's pray. This little boy is asking requests for a little cousin, is he? Said his little cousin drank some bleach. Is that right? And she's in the hospital. Let's pray. He come up here trying to have faith for her. How many would like to have faith for that little fella tonight? See, let's just pray. And see, like I said a while ago, it could be your little child. See, this was in the audience. This was in the audience. Tomorrow it might be yours. You might come in. You know, I tell you what, I've had people to rise up against us in the area. Rise up against us. As a matter of fact, Betty knows of a case that just happened just a few days back. Rise up against us in the area. And all of a sudden, something would happen to them and their loved ones. And they'd come screaming and begging for us to pray. And God would have mercy and deliver. So let's just believe tonight in the behalf of this. And would you? Father, in Jesus' name, this little feller is believing in the behalf of that precious, darling child. And I want you to heal it now. Don't let anything come bad of it. Father, get that stuff out of its system. Don't let it leave any after effects. And dear God, heal that little body. You can do what medical profession cannot do. Father, I thank you for everything that the medical profession can do. And I thank you, Father, for the help that they can give us. But Lord, where they're limited, I know you can do something. Heal in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I thank God for everything that the medical world can do. Praying for this little fella, it reminds me of something. I got a little girl here by the name of Gracie. When she came into this world, the Lord told me, he said, name her Grace before she's ever born. I didn't know why. When she come into this world, the Lord says she's in a dying condition. Doctors checked her out. Everything was fine. I said, something's wrong with her. I said, she's in bad shape. The nurses said, everything's just fine. I said, no, she's dying. So I insist and insist till finally they got a specialist in to check the baby. The baby was dying. That's her standing in the blue dress right there. I didn't mean to make a spectacle out of you, Gracie. But anyway, they took her over to the children's hospital, and she was dying. She had the same disease that Kennedy's little baby died with, President Kennedy's baby died with, hyaline membrane. And they couldn't find out what it was. She was dying, smothering to death. And they had all kind of doctors, had one right after another, had a whole group of them at one time. And finally the doctor told me, said, I just have to be honest with you. Said, Mr. Pike, I can't even find out, nor can we. And they were the best doctors in the nation. Said, we can't even find out what's wrong with her. And I told him, I said, well, there's one thing about it. I said, I respect you and the medical profession. You've dedicated your lives to this cause. And for everything you can do, I said, I respect you, and I want you to do all you can for my baby. I said, but I want you to know one thing, we're not quitting. I said, your limitations is God's opportunity. And I said, I'm going to contact the saints of God, and we're going to believe God, and God's going to do something for my baby. And I contacted the saints of God, and they began to pray, and all of a sudden the doctors come back and said, we've discovered what it is. I said, well, praise God. And we begin to pray, and God begin to undertake. And tonight she's whole and healthy and well. And God blessed in such a way that it spread throughout the hospital. And God blessed and blessed and blessed in that hospital because of what was done for my little girl. Nurses' hearts was tore up. People's hearts was moved because I trusted in God when the medical profession couldn't even find out what was wrong, let alone help her. You know what? That's what we need to do here in Jeff. We need to trust God. Isn't that right? The Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicines. There's going to come a time when there won't be any healing medicines, and we're going to have to trust God. So then let's use what we can, but let's trust God and believe God.
How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first.
You know, this is a good report. We've been praying. I ask you to pray tonight.
He is so wonderful.
You remember the boy that we spoke about that they had officially announced dead.
To me.
They called me about him the other night.
So wonderful.
I told him to tell the woman to keep believing that God resurrected the dead.
He first.
They said here that they've run an examination on him again because she held on, and said now they discovered that it looks like his brain is functioning and it looks like there's going to be hope.
Praise God.
So then, somebody's faith is going out to God. If you keep believing with me, we can have a testimony there that'll shake the world. Because the medical profession had already pronounced him dead. You love Jesus? Praise God. Your ears? All right. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. Heal tonight. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise God. I felt the Holy Ghost touch your sister. Praise God. I feel the Spirit. Don't you feel God's Spirit tonight? I want you to really pray for Kenny. I was praying again last night. During the night. Praying again this morning. Asking God to confound the doctors. And since they had officially pronounced him dead, to resurrect him and bring him back out.
So wonderful.
Because like I said, he just tore me up. He's been in a place to where he can't even say, Lord, Lord. They can't get through to him. Nothing. When he went into that kind of condition, he was under dope, as far as we know. Had been taking dope or drinking. Two boys. The other one in a dying condition sent word, said, don't give up on me, Brother Pine. Said, keep praying for me. He's in a dying condition too. Young boys, pray for him too. Don't give up on him. Don't give up. You know, if it was me or you, you wouldn't want to give up, would you? If it was your son or daughter, you wouldn't want to give up. Long as there's life, there's hope. Isn't that right? That's the way I feel. Some of you have got faith in God. I can tell you how. Folks, I want you to get in here with me. We've got a few more days here in Jeff, if the Lord allows. And I want to pray. And maybe you've got sick loved ones. Maybe you've got somebody that needs healing. And we've seen God do such beautiful things. I'm going to give testimony from night to night of a few things that we've seen God do. But I love to see him do things where I'm at. We have to tell things he's done to stir people's faith up, to get them to believe. And he has healed enough people for me, done enough things for me that I could write a big book of healing and deliverance. But I want to see him do something here. right here in this place. But one, I remember one testimony we've referred back to a lot of times in our life of a woman. We went to a place and the woman had TB and they had her in the hospital. We went to this place over in Illinois, I believe it was. Went there and this pastor was tore all to pieces. He was their shepherd and he said, "Brother Pike," he said, "would you go and pray for this sister? Says she's in the hospital and says she's in a dying condition." We went to pray for her and they wouldn't let us in the room because of TB. And I got up to the door and I got my children to go around to the window. Dale probably remembers it. Go around to the window, they wouldn't let them in. And they sang for her outside of the window. Outside of the hospital. We had to stand outside the door. I could look off at the distance and see her. And it had tubes running into her every way. And I prayed, and when I prayed, I felt the power of God come sweeping down. And when the power of God came down, I felt God heal. And I said, "Sister, I just felt God heal you." I said, "If you'll accept my prayers and believe it," I said, "you'll be all right." We went away. In 2 or 3 days, we went back. The man said, "We need to go back." We went back. She was up out of the bed, sitting over in a chair. She said, "Brother Pike, I'm healed. No more tubes, no more TB." Said, "They're dismissing me and moving me." Her husband found out about it and tears rolled down his cheeks. And he ran to me and said, "I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Brother Pike." You know, a lot of people don't realize that that's Jesus that does that. And all they know is it's the evangelist. And I tried to explain to him that Jesus does those things. Jesus is the one that does it. Another man, we walked into his room. He was dying with cancer. They said that he was eat up with cancer from here all the way down. And said he was dying with cancer. Didn't want to even let anybody in to see him. And I went over there that night and finally got into the room. And I walked into the room and he was so sad. And I finally got him to let me in. When I walked into the room, all of a sudden, I turned my faith loose in God. I said, "God, I feel your presence." I felt the whole room illuminated. And I prayed for him and I said, "Sir," I said, "God just healed and made you whole." I said, "I know he did because I felt him come down from heaven." I said, "He done it." And tears began to stream down his cheeks. He couldn't eat anything, keep anything down, whatever. The next morning he got up of his own accord, went in, got him something to eat. I understand. In just a little while he was out. They said that they could not find a trace of cancer. Now, God does heal. He does help. He does heal people if we believe. You say, "Well, Brother Pike, that sounds like a fairy tale." Well, there's one thing about it. If it is a lie, they're the ones that told it. They're the ones that told it. And they were in the hospital in those kind of conditions, and they came out and lived a healthy, normal life. So then God heals and God saves. So let's come together believing God and let's let God do something here in Jeff. I believe that if we'll pray and believe, that these signs will follow them that believe. And when we leave Jeffersonville, Indiana, that we'll leave behind healings and deliverances that will continue to show up day after day until people will say, "You know, that tent meeting that come to town, there was something to that because I know brother so-and-so, a sister so-and-so, and did you know she's getting better or she's recovering or she's healed and there's still things that's taking place." You love Jesus? That's the way it's supposed to be, my brother, sister. All right. Here's Brother Woods wanting the little one here prayed for, I guess. My sister, we prayed for her little boy. His was a real bad case. something wrong with the little feller in this part, the little part of his body, and it didn't look like he'd live. But we prayed for him, and today he's a healthy boy living, and my sister's always telling about what a miracle it was, what God did for him. All right. Precious Father, Lord God, move this thing off of this little head. Move it, Jesus. It's such an easy thing for you. Take it away. In the name of your lovely Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God. I believe you heard that prayer and accepted it. Appreciate that prayer today, too. All right, lift your hands up with me one more time. I'm going to pray for the audience.
No more.
Brother Pike hasn't kept you all that long in these services. I'm trying not to keep you long. We don't have quite the enthusiasm and drive here in Jeff that we need for revival. I think that's one thing that's discouraging to God, is we spend so much time reading and traveling and doing the things of the world and have such little drive for God and concern for God. Well, let's have a little more concerning drive during this revival. Soon be gone. And let's love Jesus. While I pray for you tonight, Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus, this audience tonight, as I stretch out my hands, I pray that you'd heal them, Father. Father, heal their precious bodies tonight. Forgive their sins tonight, Jesus. Take away the evils tonight, Heavenly Father. Give us a testimony in Jeff. Dear God, may they be healed tonight. Oh, gracious God of heaven, may they be healed tonight. Move away the dark clouds of doubt. Move away the oppression. Move away the sickness tonight. Give them joy. Give them peace. Give them happiness. Meet their financial needs, Father. Bless them spiritually. I ask you to give them spiritual strength and give them a testimony for Christ. In Jesus' wonderful name, I'm believing that you're going to do it. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget to come and be with us tomorrow night.